Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to combine the children's sermon and the sermon together. So kids, I want you to listen to this. Of course, parents, adults, I want you to listen to the gospel too. You're not getting off the hook. I'm sorry, but I want you to listen closely and watch what's going on here. We're going to walk through this scripture from today, from Matthew 14, beginning with the 13th verse, and we're going to kind of break it down and tell a story about this feeding of the 5,000. So are you ready? Here we go. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus had heard this, all right, I think we need to back up just a second here. This is a quote. Heard this. What did Jesus hear? Well, Jesus kind of got told by his disciples, hey, Jesus, We've got some bad news for you, Jesus. Really? Well, what could that be? Jesus, John's dead. That's John the Baptist, for those keeping track at home. John's dead. And you came all this way to tell me. Thank you. Now, John's disciples are the ones that told Jesus about this. So now when he heard this, when he heard John was dead, where did Jesus go? Well, of course, he withdrew from here. He left. He walked away, hopped in his boat, took the boat, and went off. Went to a very deserted place. What's a deserted place, you may ask? That's a good question. Think of the desert. Think of somewhere where there's nobody around. There's nobody here. This is a deserted place. And Jesus went there by himself. He needed to get away for a little while. So here's Jesus in the deserted place. Now, the gospel says, but when the crowds heard it, when they heard that he was going, when they heard it, they followed him on foot. They followed. They followed him. Who knows how long they followed? It could have been miles and miles, but they were willing to follow him to a deserted place. They don't know where he's going, but this crowd is moving there. And they go. By foot, nonetheless. No cars, no anything. Far away from the towns. So they're way outside of Forest City, far out in the middle of nowhere, probably in the middle of a cornfield, maybe. Who knows? But they're out there. They followed him all this way. Now remember, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. And then he gets to shore. He finally lands to shore. And then he sees this great crowd. Now remember, they've traveled a long way. And he has compassion on them. He has compassion. He has compassion. When he comes onto shore, he has the compassion. And these people here, they're not all healthy. I mean, it looked like they were healthy, but some of them are sick. Some are hurt. Some may have a virus or something. They may have something wrong. Who knows? But they're sick. And Jesus sees them. And he cures them. Cures the sick. You're now healed. You're healed. What? They're healed, curing the sick. And now the sun comes down. It's getting lower, it's lower. It's afternoon. It's coming to about, who knows, 5 o'clock. It's usually my kind of supper time. But when it gets to that point when the sun's starting to go down, the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere. This is a deserted place, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the sun's going down. It's getting to be nighttime. The hour is late. Send them away. Send them away. Send them home so they can find somewhere to eat. Go to the villages. Buy food for themselves. They need to take care of themselves, Jesus. Send them away. But Jesus says to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Okay. So, Jesus just told them to give them something to eat. At which point, they realize how much food they have in the vicinity at the moment, which is, well, we've got nothing more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus said, well, bring them here to me. So then he orders the crowd, all right, sit down. Let's have a seat. And the crowds, they all are probably getting a little hungry, but they sit down. And they brings those five loaves and two fish. And Jesus takes those five loaves and two fish, looks up to heaven. He looks up to heaven and blesses it, breaks the loaves, breaks them in half, and this gives the disciples give them then to the crowd. And here's the thing. They eat, and 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 everybody is getting their fill. They eat, and they're filled till they're full. And then guess what? There's still leftovers. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And to put this all into perspective, those who ate, those that were here in this middle of nowhere, were 5,000 men, besides women and children. So if you figure 5,000 people, men, let's just assume, we don't know for sure, but if they each had a spouse, we're up to 10,000. And if each of them had a kid, you're up to 15,000. If they had two, that's 20,000. Well, let's see. That's like, well, it's four cities, about 4,000 people, I think, right? So that'd be one, two, three, four, five, four cities in this place. And they're fed from five loaves and two fish. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So hopefully you learned a little something from watching that a little bit. Hopefully you heard something new, maybe. Maybe you heard the story in a little different way, and you just see how amazing scriptures can be and how amazing this story is. The story of compassion. So why don't you pray with me as we think about that? And I guess what I would like you to think about for this week, kids, parents, everybody at home that just listened, is don't forget about that word, compassion. Compassion for each other when it seems overwhelming, because that would be. God's still there. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming into this world and showing a compassion that sometimes we could never understand. Send us out with this promise and this love for all. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000, it's a story we've heard many, many times. Am I right? I mean, as soon as I say the feeding of the 5,000, you say, oh, I know that one. Or probably a lot of you do. I know that. Yeah, that's when there's like five loaves and two fish, right? And he feeds all these people. Whoa! Well, that's right. We just heard the retelling of that. And this week, I wanted to ask you at home, you in person, this question of what do you think of when you hear the feeding of the 5,000? Here are some of your answers. You'll see how wide a range we have. Here are the Facebook notes. We have plenty to share when the baskets are passed. That's the miracle. So who prepared all that food? Abundance, organization, delegation. There's no waste. God's provision. God's abundance. It's miraculous. Well, no one should go hungry, regardless if they earned it or not. The logistics of the thing. Jesus will always provide enough for everyone. The need to feed others. Abundance. Was the food really multiplied to a greater quantity? Or did 5,000 men believe their hunger would be satisfied and share their resources? We need to share what we have. And only Jesus could pull it off. Those are some of the thoughts
on the feeding of the 5,000, and you can see that they go all over, don't they? And some of them are very similar about hunger and abundance and people providing for each other. But here's another way to look at this story, okay? I want to look at this as maybe a story in which we've lost a part of ourselves, but are renewed. I know that might not be the way we would usually go, but let's think about that for a moment. Have you ever gotten this kind of call in your life? Yeah? Really? You mean they... When did it happen? When did they... Oh, no. You mean mom's gone? You mean my aunt's gone? My best friend's gone? I see. Thank you. Or have you ever had this happen to you before? Yeah, I want to come home. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to come home, absolutely. What do you mean I'm not welcome in my own hometown? What do you mean nobody wants me to come back? Well, I know we left on bad terms last... Yes, I remember being thrown... Yeah, I remember that. I remember being kind of chased out of town. You mean nobody... Home's where I'm supposed to be welcome. Okay. Have you ever had any conversations like that before? Think about it for a moment. Have you gotten the phone call that a loved one's died or a close friend? Maybe you know somebody, or maybe you yourself don't even feel welcome at home where you grew up. Maybe your family doesn't want you around. Maybe it just feels the place that's supposed to be such a spot where you can always go back to, you can't. And it's almost as if in that moment you've lost a part of yourself, right? Something's missing. For me, I can think of when my aunt, my aunt, who is also my godparent, died about almost 10 years ago now. And the moment that person who had such a smile, such a spark in her life, you could see it because she had cancer, and the last time I saw her, she was not her normal self. And that was one of the hardest things that I can remember, because I hadn't really seen that in a personal way. I'd seen it in CPE before, but I hadn't really had that as a part of my life. And then when she was gone, it's almost as if a part of me was gone. I've lost a part of who I am. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe it has. Because that's where this gospel text is starting today. I mentioned it earlier when we were retelling it, but it starts with, after hearing this, he went to an isolated place. Jesus went to an isolated place. Well, what are the two things that happened right before that? Well, first of all, immediately before that, he's told that John has been killed. He was beheaded by Herod. Okay? And just a little bit before that, and we've skipped over it, we've gone from the parables right into this story, but there's a little chunk here that's missing. Right before that, Jesus was in his hometown, and they say, get out of here. We don't want you in here. You're not welcome here. He's been thrown out of his hometown. He's lost John. It can feel like he's lost something. Jesus goes to a new place, different from where he had been. Jesus goes and finds somewhere isolated to renew himself. However, he's not the only one in today's gospel text that it feels like they've lost a part of themselves.
Now, Jesus goes off by himself to an isolated place to renew. But there's plenty of other people that probably felt like they lost a part of themselves too. Maybe sometimes you felt like that. And you wonder, where do you go? What do you do? They've tried almost everything, perhaps. Maybe they feel like outcasts. Maybe because they're sick, nobody wants them around. Who knows what it is? But these people, these 5,000 plus, are willing to bypass towns, bypass the usual stops, and they keep going. They follow. They're following him to where he's going. They're willing to try something new, to find a part of themselves that have been lost. Who knows what that is, but they follow him and follow him and follow him all the way back to where he is.
And they follow him all the way to that place, and he shows compassion on them. He renews them, he heals, he feeds, he sends them back out renewed. They follow God. So that asks the question of, what do we go to when we feel like we've lost our way, or we feel like we've lost a part of ourselves? Where can we go to? Where can we go to even remember and be renewed? It's a good question, isn't it?
It's a good question with an even better answer. We come back here. And that seems to be kind of our theme for the day, when you think about it, of baptism. At the beginning, we remembered our baptism. When we need that renewal, when we feel like we've lost a part of ourselves, it all comes back here. And the promises that you've been sealed, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Daily renewed, each and every day. And I invite you in your home right now, as you're able, whether you have water or not, make that sign of the cross in your forehead. And let's come back to the very beginning of this message, when I was talking about my aunt dying and feeling like I lost a part of myself. At that funeral, I don't remember what song it was. If it was Amazing Grace, or it probably wasn't that, but I'm trying to remember. I think it was an Easter song. I think it was Thine is the Glory, is what it was. I do remember whatever the song was, that those words hit me. And what felt like event was once lost was renewed. I'm ready to go. I remember in that moment the promise of baptism, the promises of each and every day. When I lose a part of myself, we're renewed. And that's one of those moments in which that did happen. It was a full circle. And only Christ could do that. And it was well in my soul. We're about to sing a song, All Who Are Thirsty. We listen to some of those words of all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Come here. Let the waves wash over you. Be renewed. Be restored. It's an awesome promise. One that only God can give. And in that vein of, and in that thought of promise of being renewed, remember that last part too, that Jesus says. You do too. Go. Seems to always keep coming up, doesn't it? As soon as you're renewed and reminded, it's time to go. Thanks be to God for that renewal, making us whole. Something only God can do. Thanks be to God. Amen.